Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, one mother uses her loss to help another mother, and we take your calls with open lines. The phone number 855-853-4802. Tony and Jenny Brusky and Bear, spread eagle on the floor as Jenny takes pictures of him.
He is all moving around and making noise until we start telling stories, then he just lays down and falls asleep.
He enjoys it.
Yeah, but he doesn't sleep like a dog, like curled up. He lays like a person on his back with his little...
Parts exposed?
I guess parts exposed, but his little paws up. I mean, he's just like flat out.
Yep.
Funny dog.
He's down there and he is out. There you go. Well, I'll put that image on Talking Ghosts next time and see what everyone thinks. Anyhow, so were you just watching like the Dick Van Dyke musical or something over there?
No, he turned 90 and there was a flash mob. And I don't know how they knew where he was going to be, but he was like looking over a balcony at, I don't know if it was a restaurant for a birthday party or what it was, but a whole bunch of people dressed as chimney sweeps came and did like a montage of Mary Poppins music.
There you go. That seems special.
I like Dick Van Dyke.
What do you think he'll haunt any place when he dies? Of all the celebrities out there who are living right now, who do you think is most likely to haunt a location, and where would they haunt?
Most likely to haunt a location.
Is Elvis alive, and have you seen him lately?
You know, I would say probably one of the late night talk show hosts. Okay. That have retired, that, you know, when they're gone, they're going to go back and haunt their old theater.
Haunt the theater?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Letterman's was the Ed Sullivan Theater originally.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if Ed Sullivan is haunting. I've never looked into if there's any ghost things in that building. It's a pretty old building.
Yeah.
I could see that. So are you talking like the former late night talk show host? Because the older ones of, you know, our generation of growing up have all retired now. It's a younger crew.
I'm talking about like when Leno or Letterman, you know, are no longer here, that I could see them going back. Because, you know, that's one of those things. It's different than acting.
Sure.
Because a lot of it is just their own emotion. And you got to think about all the events that they had to discuss and things that were fresh every night. And so I think it's very different than other acting.
I think you're right. It's very much, I mean, there were so many things that went on in that, the Ed Sullivan Theater. I mean, even when Letterman retired, he said, they're asking, yeah, can you come back and check out Stephen Colbert's show? And they're like, he's like, I don't think I'll ever set foot in this building again.
Oh, really?
And it was more so just because, you know, just that.
Mm-hmm.
So many emotions. That was his world. That was his life. It'd be very difficult to go in and see how other people are doing it.
Oh, sure.
You know, a different, you know, because you feel it's your way. Not that he'd really judge them, but just, you know, you almost don't want to get in the way of somebody else's world because it's no longer yours anymore. But that'll be interesting if that would happen. I'd love to see Letterman come back as a ghost.
Uh-huh.
I just love to see Letterman come back in general. But as a ghost would be very interesting. He's doing a show next year about some environmental thing, and it's going to be on National Geographic.
Oh, that's cool.
Which should be interesting. Yeah. It's interesting seeing how him and Jon Stewart in their retirement are actually going out and pursuing some of the causes that they really felt passionate about, mm-hmm. more one-on-one. I mean, they obviously have been a good purveyor of the information and motivating people over the years on various things that really do need attention. But now it's cool to see them go out and actually, okay, we're going to be hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, in that that capacity and still use their celebrity for good.
Mm-hmm.
And not just kind of, go into a home and disappear.
Sure.
And then someday, oh, they're dead. Oh, we haven't heard from them in quite a while.
Yeah. No, so. I have a lot of respect, especially for Jon Stewart right now. I mean, he's hitting it hard trying to get the 9/11 first responders bill.
Yeah. And I think he's going to be a voice for a long time,
mm-hmm.
of causes that really shouldn't have to be a cause because it's common sense and things that we should just be doing.
Right.
But he's always been that. And that's good to see. Anywho, enough about that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Our first letter today comes into us from Tiff. Tiff writes in, about 4 years ago, I moved into an old house. It was probably at least 100 years old. When we moved to the house, I noticed the attic had old boxes from other people who once lived there. We found out that our new house was an old dog fighting area or something like that. I had my cousin and my best friend come over and we were taking pictures down in the basement. We'd taken about 30 or more. When we looked at the photos once we were done, all of them were normal except for the one that they had taken of me. It was of me doing a girly pose, but behind me there was like this green figure, and it looked like a woman kissing the top of my head. I was terrified, so I went and showed my mom, and she thought I was crazy. The next day, I got my camera out to show some more people the photo, but my camera or my SD card wouldn't work for some odd reason. I took my camera and SD card to someone who said they could fix anything, and they said they had no idea what was wrong with it. For a few days, the lights would flicker on and off and little things like that. My mom wanted me and my brother to go and grab all the boxes from the attic, the ones that the former people left, and search through them. When we were searching through them, we found an old, scary-looking doll and a Ouija board. My mother told me to throw it away, so we did. A couple weeks later, everything was fine. Nothing strange had been happening for a while. And then one night, I was about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, I hear scratches at my door. I did not have a cat at the time, and my dog was at the other room lying down next to my mom. Eventually, I went to bed. What I'm about to tell you, I don't remember at all. My mom, dad, brother, and friend told me this the day after. My mom told me that I woke up crying and went to her room. She said that I was talking gibberish for a while, and then she said I started screaming at the top of my lungs, waking everyone up. She said that I ran outside and found the doll underneath something hidden. My dad said that I said, we need to get rid of it and burn it, talking about my doll. My grandma even told me that I called her at 2:00 in the morning and asked her if she would burn the doll for me. She said that I started crying and asked if she could get a priest to come over the next day and bless the house. The next day when I woke up, I remembered nothing about this, but everyone was telling me the crazy things I did. After that, a bunch of little things started happening again, and then, eventually, we moved.
I don't think I would hang on to any boxes of previous owners' items, because this is a very good example.
Yeah.
And they hang on, they hold a lot of energy, and if it was something left behind at either one, didn't mean a whole heck of a lot to the previous owner, so it's junk, or two, they were left behind because they didn't want it, and they were ditching it. Mm-hmm. So either way, it's a good reason to get rid of it.
What about eating the previous owner's food if they left some of that behind?
That's disgusting and messed up.
Some oatmeal packets?
Uh-uh.
Carnation instant breakfast?
No, everything goes.
Sealed?
Everything goes.
Handy snacks?
That's gross.
Handy snacks are delicious no matter what, even if they're from a previous owner.
No.
Yeah, it's probably something where you just go, yeah, I'm good. I think I can handle my own cheese whiz.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I have to ask, though, because they moved, it says here. Did they leave anything there for the next owners of the house of their own or the previous items?
Right.
And so something like this, if they left that stuff from the previous owners,
mm-hmm.
when they left as well, you have to wonder, how many times has this been left? Was that really the previous owner's stuff, or does it go back further than that?
It could go back further, but I think they got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully that helps to fix the situation, but if there's still stuff going on after the things are gone, then yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the story. Jamie writes in, hi, Jenny and Tony. I've written in before. I'm the broom lady. I guess you could say that when it comes to ghosts, if they're nasty, I clean house. Is this the one who attacked ghosts with the broom a while back?
And we said,
how the hell did that work?
Well, it works. And we had a couple of listeners write in talking about there's something to that cultural thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't completely understand it, but.
Hey, if it works, it works.
It works.
All right. Today you had a lady call in and tell you about how their son was still around after their passing and that he had been crying. I lost my son in January of 1992. I can tell you why her son is crying. He's upset that the family is upset. Let me tell you my story and maybe it will help. My son Jeremy had been ill almost from birth. He started out relatively healthy, but as he grew, there were a lot of neurologic issues that showed up and these only increased as he grew older. By the time he was 9, he was legally blind. He had kidney problems, he was diabetic, and the cards kept stacking against him from that point until at 19 he passed. Like many kids who are ill from such a young age, he was braver than most adults. He was introspective and deep, and the wisdom he possessed was one of the greatest features of him. Now, just because his prognosis had never been good, in some ways I've been prepared for him to die, but you're never really ready for them to die. I don't think you can ever be ready to lose a child. About 2 or 3 weeks after his passing, my other half took a notion that he was going to cheer me up with an outing. We were going out for a drive. Now, when Dale used to tell you that you were going for a little ride, that was usually an all-day thing. We learned that day that if Dale said that it was going to be a drive, that we shouldn't have packed over night bags. So that first part of the trip, we went to some caverns that my son Jeremy had always wanted to visit. My stepdaughter and I wandered through the caves, and it had been pretty awesome. From Mitchell Caverns, Dale drove us to State Line, Nevada, to the old Princess Hotel, where we ate, did some gambling, and then rented a room for the night. As I settled down to sleep, I had been thinking most of the day how much I loved this trip, but towards the end, it would never have been able to travel caves with all of the steps and such. I began to quietly cry myself to sleep. At that point, I felt someone take my hand. I assumed it was my husband. I opened my eyes, and there was Jeremy, kneeling by the bed and holding my hand. He said, Mom, I'd have stayed, but my body was no damn good. And then he sort of evaporated away. I told my husband about what had just happened, and he said that he thought it was a fog over his eyes, but it was still here, and it was still bent over me. I said, I know. He still has my hand. It lasted for about 5 minutes before it all ended. Now, I admit freely that I have been a sensitive since birth. I don't remember not being sensitive, and I know that this event is still unusual and certainly the greatest blessing that anyone could ask for. However, to all of you who have lost someone, not just the last storyteller, please let me tell you that seems to be the greatest concern of those who have passed before you. They don't want you to stay heartbroken. They want you to know they're all right and that your loved one has a life that goes on. Of course, my life is still emptier without him. Of course, I still get sad, but I always remember that he would have stayed if he could have. And his biggest concern was that I was upset. The love goes on, just like the story, Ghost. The love goes on. Best always, Jamie, a.k.a. Mystic.
This is what I love so much about what we do and the community that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we have a mother who's lost a child, who's dealing with a paranormal aspect, and then we have another mother who's been in the same situation, and they're able to, you know, to share stories. And I just think that that is so neat that we're able to help facilitate that a little
sure.
bit.
And connect the mm-hmm. stories and connect some of these dots and show, you know, because a lot of times people feel they might be crazy.
Sure.
You know, that's how they word it too. And it just, it's some validity and it adds some validity and confirmation to people's experiences that, no, this is, you're not crazy. You're not alone in these things happening. They do happen to a lot of people. Not everyone speaks of them because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, these things are quite, quite common. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And you have to give me props there. I didn't break into the love theme from Ghost.
Thank you. And just skip right over your urge to do that right now.
So close.
I know.
So close.
Let's do a call.
Let's
do a call.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Ashley from Indiana, and I just want to tell you a quick little story. When I was pregnant with my first son, me and my husband were sleeping in our apartment. Well, we weren't married at the time, but anyway, we are now. So we're sleeping in our bedroom in our apartment, and we've got the door shut, and we have a box fan on a chair at the end of our bed because I have to have a fan. I need the noise and the air. And anyway, so we go to sleep, and I start, dreaming. But my dream is that I'm in my bed in our apartment, with my husband lying next to me, and so I'm unaware that I'm dreaming. I'm thinking that I'm still awake because, I'm dreaming that I'm in my bedroom. So anyway, I start to hear my fan, the speeds go up and down, like someone is sitting over there turning the speeds from, slow to fast and all that stuff. And I know my husband's right next to me, and there was obviously no one else in the apartment. And so I kind of get a little freaked out. I try to wake my husband up, and I can't wake him up. Usually he's a pretty light sleeper. I can wake him up pretty easy, and I can't wake him up. So I'm kind of nudging him and, whispering his name, and whatever was messing with the fan was not, didn't want me to wake him up because it kept on, the speeds would get a little bit faster, and it was kind of like running around the room trying to get out, but the door was closed, and I couldn't really see it, because it was dark, but I could sense it. I could sense that it was kind of panicking, and and the more it did that, I was getting more scared. And so I'm really, really trying to wake up my husband at this point and shaking him, and I'm getting more frightened and, yelling his name at this point, and I'm starting to cry. And then eventually I wake up. I'm aware that I was dreaming. I cry, and he wakes up, and he's like, what was that? Are you okay? What happened? So I tell him my dream, and he calms me down, and we eventually go back to sleep. And really, I don't really think anything of it because pregnant women kind of have crazy dreams. And, I used to have nightmares when I was a kid, so I'm thinking, okay, this is what that is. Oh, sorry, that's my cat. So my husband tells me, I'm just talking about the dream. I'm like, man, that's so crazy. This dream is so real, and it was so scary. I just couldn't believe it. And my husband said, well, I didn't want to tell you at the time because I knew you wouldn't go back to sleep, but the very second you woke me up, I heard a very loud, very angry growl in my ear. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything at all. He said he heard this as soon as he woke up. He said he was, really scared, but he didn't want to freak me out any more than I already was. So he decided to kind of keep it to himself till the next day, and it's just my blood kind of went cold, and I was like, oh my gosh, what's in our apartment? And just never felt comfortable there. But yeah, so that's my story, just kind of a short one, but definitely one of the more scarier ones, scariest things that's happened to me. So yeah, I hope to hear this, and have a great day, and I'm going to ask my husband to get me a membership, like a year membership, so I can be an EPP, so I can hear all of your other wonderful, wonderful stories. And yeah, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
It is the gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
And I bet the cat would love it, too.
What happened to the cat?
Sorry, I just said to my cat.
No, I wonder if spirits are attracted to women when they're pregnant, because that happens a lot. Paranormal activity goes up. Is it just the hormones or is something?
Are you saying do the ghosts have some sort of pregnancy fetish?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's some kind of a link there between the two.
Well, I would think, if it's two people to haunt versus one,
true,
if you will, there's probably a lot more energy going on, a lot more, around that individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose it could certainly make you more of a beacon for the paranormal to be interested in haunting you. I don't know. I mean, sensitivity, is risen during that time, mm-hmm, to everything.
Sure.
And that's just instinctual. So I wonder, every other sensitivity is higher or heightened during that period. Why would sensitivity to paranormal things also not be into that?
That's true.
That risen area.
I never thought about that.
So folks who are normally not so sensitive, they get risen more so to the level of people who normally are.
Mm-hmm.
And people who normally are sensitive and are pregnant may go even higher.
Yeah.
I would think.
I would think so too.
Just a thought. We really have no real answers to anything on this show, if you haven't caught on yet. It's all Tony and Jenny guess what the dead are doing.
Well, it's a guess based on how many hundreds of stories you listen to.
It's an educated guess.
Yeah.
But that's the best anyone can do.
Sure.
That's what I always say about this, because people are like, are you an expert in that industry? It's like,
no.
It's really not an industry, technically. If you're talking about people sharing stories. Number two, I don't think anyone's an expert. There's people who have more experience, hearing the stories and, mm-hmm, and are able to share their knowledge based on those experiences. But, that's all it is. It's all educated guessing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I definitely know this is that. And I think anyone who makes that claim, run far and fast from.
Sure.
Because how do you back that up?
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, thank you for that call. We really do appreciate it. The phone number here, 855-853-4802 is the phone number to share your real ghost story. Of course, you can also do it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I don't know how real this this tweet is, but a listener sent it to us, and it's like an image, a screenshot of a tweet. And anybody could make this shit up, but take it for what it is.
Okay.
I there's plenty of people out there who are not so intelligent who, very well could have tweeted this. You always see that where you see there's something, obvious in the world, and all of a sudden you see people tweeting about it and they're so misinformed on the subject. You're like, how the hell did you not know that's a bad idea? how? And a lot of times it's the younger folks, if it's a generational thing, like, oh, they didn't grow up with this or that.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I don't think there's any real excuse for. This tweet is from a woman named Christy, and it says, OMG, word of advice, never try to cremate your deceased pet in your oven. Not only is it the worst smell imaginable, they do not turn to ashes. They just burn. This day did not start off good.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God. Do you think that's real? Do you think somebody actually thought, hey, I'm going to try this? And I don't know, because it's one of those things where I could see someone not so wise innocently doing it, thinking, I want to, they don't have a yard to bury their pet in, but they want to keep their pet. They don't have the money to cremate it. Well, it's oven. I suppose I could do this myself. Is that going to be a pin on Pinterest? How to cremate your pets?
I could look that up.
Oh my God. I wonder if that is.
I'm going to look.
Pet cremation techniques. And then there's a little instructional on how to make a nice chalk paint casket for it after you cremated it. In your
chalk paint casket.
I don't know. I don't know. I saw that and I was like, oh my God. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Tell Us Your Ghost Story, we'll get it on. What, do you have anything?
There's just like jewelry to put the ashes in.
Sure.
Or an urn.
Okay.
If you look up home pet cremation, nothing comes up.
It's not like step by step and a big
here's how you do it.
Yeah.
no.
Okay, thank God. Thank God. James in Wisconsin, hi.
Hi, my name is James. I live out in Wisconsin, and well, I'm kind of an empath. My family's littered with sensitive and stuff like that, so I have a lot of stories to share. But first off, you guys had a story on a previous episode a while back about a guy who saw three creatures, well, people-like things, up in his attic with a swirling vortex. And I know one of you mentioned that that might be carbon monoxide. Well, what he saw was a portal haunting, which is usually associated with bad stuff, but yeah, not important. Yeah, my story, or one of my stories anyway. Yeah, this is the one I would call the story of the guy in the red shirt. I work in a factory not too far from where I live, and I could always, you know, feel if something was nearby, and I always knew the place had something nearby. And over the past year or so, I started seeing stuff, started out like the corner of my eye, and you might be able to justify that as matrixing, but right now it's to the point where I'll see things in front of me for like 3 or 4 seconds, and then it'll just disappear. And yeah, it's weird. But at work, I'd always, out of the corner of my eye, see the same figure. Some guy, red shirt, short brown hair, with this, you know, really specific jacket sort of thing. It was, you know, a dustier jacket. And he was always wearing, you know, these, you know, the same set of boots sort of thing. And, you know, at first I just, you know, see him walking through one of the aisleways, and I'd, you know, turn and look, and nothing would be there. Well, one night I was talking to one of my work buddies, and I work third shift, so this conversation was going on at about 3 a.m. And I mentioned to him, yeah, you know, this place is haunted. And he flat out said, well, you know, I recall the story for his time, and he's been there for 10, 12 years. And he said that, you know, some guy actually committed suicide in one of the restrooms. And I started walking back to my work area, and I felt a tug on my sleeve. Now, I couldn't see, you know, the ghost at this point in time, but I could feel him, you know, even to the point in which I knew what he looked like, even though I couldn't see him. And he was, like, looking right at me, like, oh, my God, you could see me. Granted, I can't hear him. I don't understand him. I don't know what he wants or anything like that. And I thought I turned and said, you know, I can't help you. And I continued, you know, on with my work day. But, you know, the story doesn't end there. He stuck around for a while after that. He even showed up in my stairwell one day. I was, you know, leaving my apartment, and I turned and, you know, saw something for a split second. I went, you know, complete combat mode, like, ready to deal with whatever was there, because there's no one there ever. And, you know, it just disappeared right away. It was the same guy. I saw him more than once. And, yeah, he doesn't really show up anymore. So I think he's moved on. But, yeah, that's one of my many stories.
Okay, so maybe all he needed, all the ghost needed, was the acknowledgement that somebody could see him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, okay, you're no fun anymore. I'm going to go find somebody else.
Just like this perpetual quest for validity of its existence.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if some of them are like that, where it's like, okay, we got this one down. Next. That seems to be the story sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story. And thanks for that insight as well on that portal type thing that we had that story on not that long ago. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting and probably scary for the person who had that at the same time. Hi, let's go to Jill in Indiana. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling because I ran into an old friend, which reminded me of a long ago paranormal ghost story. So, for those of you who listen to the show a lot, I am a paranormal investigator. I've been doing it for 9 years now. But this happened many years ago before I was an investigator. I was newly married, and the subject of ghosts had not come up. I know that sounds strange, but my new husband and I, we didn't see eye to eye on religion, so we did talk about those sort of things. So we had a mutual friend that we'd known for several years, and he had recently bought a house with the hopes of fixing it up for him and his new bride. He wanted us to come see it. It was his first house. He was really excited about it. So we drive out to this house. It's in a little town. It's a very, very small town. Everybody knows everybody. Like, not even a stoplight in this town. So as we're walking up to the house, it's a large two-story house with tall, skinny windows, so it's really old. And I noticed there's two people sitting on the porch. It had a big wraparound porch. And there's a bench, almost like a church pew bench, with an elderly lady sitting there. And there's a tall young man behind her, and he's standing with, like, his hand on the bench behind her and his other hand on his suspenders. And they were looking at us as if they disapproved, so I kind of started getting the feeling like we weren't supposed to be there. So I said, you know, to my friend, I'll call him John, I said, you know, like, John, are we allowed to be here? And he's like, oh, yeah, I just bought this place. It's mine. I was like, oh. Because I was under the impression that we were coming to see it to give our opinion. And then we're walking up to the house, and, you know, I can clearly see these two ghosts on the porch. And I'm thinking, oh, God, how do, you know, should I tell them? What should I say? They're crazy. Don't they believe me? I'm so excited. So we walk up to the porch. And when I get actually on the porch, they're gone. So we go into the house, and it's a beautiful house. And I only saw the first floor because when I went to the land, the woodwork was amazing. The floors are amazing, gorgeous, the way they don't make houses anymore. And but it needed a lot of TLC, new windows, that sort of thing. And he started to say the upstairs is, you know, needs more work, come and see. And as I put my hands on the banister, I felt this definite, you are not coming up here kind of vibe. And out loud I said, yes, I am. And I, you know, I sometimes I do that. It's the spirit there and I forget, oh, did I just say that out loud? And my friend was like, of course you'd come up. And then I heard the woman say, get out of my house. And I just kind of backed down the stairs and I said, you know, my knee is acting up and I don't want to go up there right now, but you boys come ahead. So as we're leaving, my husband is like, isn't that a great house? We should look for a house like that. We could fix one up. And I look at him and I said, no way, that house is haunted. And of course that started a huge, like, oh my gosh, you don't believe in ghosts, do you? And we had to have that whole conversation. And I still didn't tell him, my husband, that I could see them. I just let him know that the house creeped me out and I thought it was haunted. I said, definitely 100% haunted. So then, I don't know, like a couple weeks pass and our friend is still working on the house. And I told him that, you know, I don't think that house is a good idea. I don't think your bride likes it. I think you need to just, you know, cash out and sell it. And he is like, well, actually, his fiance was upset about it. She left him over the house. She was angry that he bought it. She didn't want to live there. She thought it was haunted. And he said, isn't that crazy? And then apparently they had a big argument about whether or not ghosts were real. So, of course, I was like, she's right. That house is haunted. And he was, oh, not you too, Jill. I can't believe you. Thought you were smarter than that, blah, blah, blah. And I said, dude, you know I love you, but that house is haunted. And if you don't leave, you're going to get hurt, and they don't want you there. Well, of course, he didn't listen to me. Nobody ever does. And then the next time we went to visit him at the actual house, we went to his house to take him some tools or something. He talked me into coming into the front parlor, but I told him I was not going upstairs. because upstairs was bad, even though I'd never been upstairs. We get in the house, and his bed is in the parlor. Right as you walk in the front door, blam, there's your bed. And I said, why is your bed down here? I thought you were sleeping upstairs in the master bedroom. How great it was, because it was huge. And he's like, oh, well, the room at the end of the hall is like this long hall, and there's this little room down there, and a family of raccoons has moved in. And I can't sleep at night because the raccoons keep banging everything around and banging the doors around, and they move furniture and stuff, and so I never get any sleep. And I look at him, I go, John, those are ghosts. And he just laughs, and he's like, Jill, come on. You're an educated person. Be serious. I was like, John, they're ghosts. Raccoons don't move furniture. What kind of furniture are they moving? Like chairs? And he was like, no, you know, like the dresser. They push the dresser. There's a dresser in there. And they push it around, and it makes all kinds of noise, and they slam the doors. And I said, raccoons don't do that. What kind of superhuman raccoons do you think you have? Were they exposed to radiation? And we have this big argument. So, needless to say, he stayed there almost a year until he had an accident. He was chopping wood outside, which he does all the time. He is a very experienced outdoorsman. And apparently, he had one leg braced on the log. And as the axe was coming down, somehow, he missed. And the axe embedded itself in his shin. He collapsed immediately and probably would have bled out and died, but a neighbor saw him, thankfully for little towns, and ran over and helped with stopping the bleeding, called the ambulance. Not too long after that, he did sell the house. And he never, ever would admit that it was haunted. He swore it was raccoons, even though there's no holes in the house. He couldn't figure out how the raccoons were getting in, these superhuman raccoons that opened and shut doors even though they couldn't reach the doorknobs and could move dressers. Anyway, the reason I thought I'd better share this with your audience is I know a lot of people call in and they say that they don't know if their house is haunted or not. I can't tell you the number of clients that we've had where one person thinks it's a ghost, and the other one swears it's a raccoon or mice or rats. Just ask yourself, what kind of raccoons do you think there are in the world? I mean, raccoons are clever. They can open locks and they're very manipulative, but they cannot climb straight walls. They can't climb straight up. So if there's no furniture in the room, and yet the light keeps coming undone and unscrewed from the socket that's laying on the floor in the morning, but there's no furniture in the room, how did that raccoon get up to that light? If it's moving furniture 10 times its size, how strong do you think these raccoons are? Anyway, I tell people, just call a group. That's what we're here for. And it really is raccoons. We'll find it, and we can prove it. And if it's not raccoons, let us take the brunt of it. Anyway, I hope you guys are having a happy holiday. I thought that was hilarious with the superhuman raccoon. Thanks for your show.
Yeah, I think it's just raccoons. I'm kidding.
I almost named the episode Raccoons Don't Move Furniture.
That'd be one of the more humorous titles we've ever had.
Yeah.
Raccoons Don't Move Furniture, just in case you're trying to find the rational explanation to your haunting. You know, I don't blame people for, you know, thinking it, because you try and find, you know, rational explanations for things, and that's a good thing, but at some point you have to go, okay, that's not a rational explanation.
Right.
As much as you'd like it to be, there's a certain point where rational is no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's like a really well-organized group of raccoons that know how to use furniture sliders and such to make the job that much easier. That's Who true. Knows? Maybe they really watch a lot of HGTV and they've evolved.
Okay.
Never know.
Maybe.
Stranger things have happened. Mm-hmm. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, Angie.
Hi, my name is Angie, and I am calling to call in about my personal story regarding ghosts and the paranormal. My best friend gave me your information and said that I might be able to call in and share my story with you. She has been a witness to most of it and has been a witness and a willing, active participant, I guess, in some of the investigation and understanding, trying to get to the bottom of what's been following me. 9 years ago tomorrow, my mother died. Tragically, and when she died, the night that she died, my life entirely changed, and stuff began happening. Things began moving, items began disappearing, medicines, and it started at our apartment where we were staying, and lights would flicker. The energy was definitely changed. We purchased a house in Battlegrounds with the will or the estate of my mother. And we purchased the house in May of 2007, and it was a beautiful ranch-style home in Battleground, Washington, on former Native land. And I should also let you know that I am part Native myself. My grandfather was Cherokee Chief of Missouri, and so I do have Native blood in me. The night that we began moving our stuff in May was like no other. It was a relatively warm night. It was the summer. We stayed up until after midnight moving our stuff into the garage. My husband left for work the next morning, where he works as a truck driver, and I went out to have my morning coffee and cigarette like I normally did as my routine. And when I went out to the garage and finished my conversation, I went to grab a box. When I opened the door, on the other side was greeting me was a black wolf-like dog. And I mean, it was the very most real thing I've ever experienced. I've never seen an animal like it. It had red, yellow eyes, and it had foam coming from its mouth and was naring its teeth at me. I honestly thought it was a live dog. I was on the phone with my husband. I asked him to look up and call animal control in the area, as well as call the neighbor across the street to see if anybody had lost their dog or if there was possibly a rabid dog in the neighborhood. And she came over to verify. She didn't see anything. And I had jumped back inside and had shut the door at that time, waiting for their responses. And when I went back out to the garage, believing that that dog had left, I was greeted again and confronted by that thing. Everything in me, and it chilled my bones. It made my hair stand up. I was freaking out and panicking. After that experience, everything began changing. I began seeing shadow people, not just me, but my husband as well. We purchased a German Shepherd dog and for protection, and that dog began going ballistic. She would chase down things in the house, and she would guard them. She would stand guard for 45 minutes, barking and growling, absolutely refusing to let me go near the wall. Then I got really sick, and my husband got sick, and we've been scratched. We've moved several times. I can't even begin to go on and on and on about the endless counts. I started taking pictures 3 years ago to get a better understanding of what I saw, and I could not believe with my own eyes what I started capturing on footage. Last year, we purchased a security home system once we moved up to Longview in a brand new home. We're not a brand new home, but a new home to us. And that security system had infrared heat vision. We didn't, you know, we weren't using it for that. We were using it for security purposes. And when we went to review the footage the next day, we couldn't believe what we saw and what we had captured. It was indescribable. Orbs, things moving, coming directly from the bedroom that I was staying in. So I've had friends come over at the Longview house who challenged the fact that there were spirits in my home. There was a woman there that was depressed, a young girl, and she was very depressed, and she would make the lights flicker and turn the lights on and off. And when my friend came over, he began making fun of her, and he thought it was really funny. He's a bug guy. He's a bug guy for a company. And after he got done spraying the place, he came inside to enjoy a barbecue hamburger with us. And he began challenging it. And she let him know, basically by jumping him. And he became violently ill immediately and began violently throwing up and puking all over my house. It was at that point I knew that we had something that you shouldn't be challenging or you know, making fun of. A couple weeks after that, another friend came over who is a strong religious Christian, and she came over not believing in any of that stuff. And she sat at my table and questioned the woman again. She didn't believe it, and the woman began turning the lights on and off, just as I told her not to challenge it, because she was very real. And at that moment, the lights began flickering, turning on and off, and my friend jumped up out of her seat, said a few curse words, and said she was never coming back to my place. That place was haunted. She knew it. And I knew that it's not haunted, it's I'm being haunted. Everywhere I've moved, every home that I moved into, every place that I've gone to, something has happened to me or to my husband or the both of us. It's destroyed my life. It's destroyed my marriage. I've had 2 investigations, and done my own conclusion and done my own investigating and got my own evidence, and I've come to the conclusion that I am being haunted. And I don't like to use the D word because I don't like giving something power, but I do believe, based on the evidence and the information that we have, that it is probably more negative and dark, and it's at a lower vibration, if you understand what that means.
Okay, so I think the only point of mentioning the mother's death is because that is a definitive time marker where the hauntings began.
Sure.
And I don't think it really has anything to do with the mother, other than maybe with her dealing with the mother's death, it made her more of a target.
Sure, just because of the sorrow and just the emotional impact that you're going through.
Right, but I don't think, obviously, that it has anything really to do
with
the mother. No, yeah. No, and I agree with what she said about her house isn't haunted, that she's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think that that's true.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. As far as what to do, that's where I don't have any answers. I think that's one of those things where, you know, we should open it up to our community to weigh in on this. If somebody wants to start a thread on our message board at realghoststoriesonline.com with thoughts, with ideas, obviously, you know, if you are a religious individual, you may go and have a conversation with some of those, you know, your pastor, your whatever you want to call it, the leaders in your
Religious
leaders in your church, and express what's going on, share your story, and see where that takes you. Clearly, this is something that's not has some malice in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just there. It's trying to do harm. So beyond that,
yeah, I don't really know.
Yeah, it's something that certainly should be taken seriously. And certainly, anyone else who's coming into your home, make sure that they fully understand. Because it's like a couple of people have come in and you told them don't do this, and they still do it. Make it abundantly clear.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're going to come into my home, that's fine. Or maybe not share, you know, the story with them, so you don't have they don't have that temptation to try and stir it up. Because the more some of these things get stirred up, sometimes the worse they can become.
Right.
And it's not necessarily her, I think, that's trying to stir it up. But when you have people who come in who are just curious, it's not their house, they don't care, you know, you could be end up making this thing worse for your situation.
Mm-hmm.
So There you go. Please weigh in, you guys, if you have some thoughts on that, and please do keep us up to date on how that situation continues on, and hopefully it ends soon in a good way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Lots of ways to get your story to us on the website or by calling in. Of course, if you like our show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Make it your New Year's resolution to listen to our show for at least 5 hours a day.
That's a lot.
Seriously, just stop everything. 5 hours a day. Ignore your friends, family, whatever, job.
That's healthy.
And just soak in some ghost stories.
Okay.
Or just support the show. Make that your New Year's resolution and enjoy it with whatever you may be doing. I'm trying to exercise more.
Mm-hmm.
I like to listen to podcasts. So, hey, if that's part of your thing, hey, do that. Get the EPP bonus episodes. You got plenty of hours of listening right there. To get you into the mood to get healthier and get freaked out all at the same time. You do exercise faster. You ride bicycles faster. I do.
When you think something's after you.
When you think something's after you. We're the perfect show to listen to increase your exercise level because of fear. There you go. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, and a Happy New Year.